Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, joined in studio by Wesley Wildman and Chris Woodward. Chris, good morning. We will get to you in just a second. But Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Ray, tell our listeners about Keep Believing, the ministry that I guess you're like president, director.
All the above.
All the above.
Something like that.
Tell our folks about Keep Believing.
Look, come see us at keepbelieving.com. I want to mention two things. We're in the second year of reading through the Bible. And right now today, Ed, we are in everybody's favorite passage, 1 Chronicles 6 through 9.
Oh, yeah.
The unending list of names that nobody can pronounce. So if you want to hear me take a shot at all of those unpronounceable names
now,
from the Hebrew.
That would be doing right there.
Well, and Wesley, that video is on the front page of our website.
So all right.
You just
How did you do that? Did you practice these names ahead of time? Did you just wing it, like Chris said?
Look, 1 Chronicles 1 through 9 basically is all genealogy, right? Yeah. And almost all unpronounceable. So my theory is, say it loud, say it fast, and keep on moving.
But I happened to Google it real quick. There's one guy in 1 Chronicles 5, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm taking a stab at this, America, Tilgath-Pilneser.
Close.
That's an Assyrian king, isn't it? Tiglath-Pileser.
Didn't he used to play for the Celtics?
Now, my favorite name in the Bible, though, Meher-Shalash-Baz.
Oh, that's right, in the book of Isaiah.
That's what you say when you sneeze. Meher-Shalash-Baz.
So, if you want to hear me take my shot at these unpronounceable names, it's free. The video's up there. And so we were in the Gospel of John, which everybody knows. Then we hop back to 1 Chronicles. It's another whole story when you hit 1 Chronicles.
But you read through the whole Bible video-wise.
Right.
There's also an audio. I've listened to the audio on Spotify.
Right.
Where you read the Bible chapters, and it's wonderful.
And you don't have to listen to 1 Chronicles if you don't want to.
Right.
Now we got the whole Bible on there, so if it's James or Philippians, you can listen to that. The other thing is, we've talked about the fact that I've been going through this cancer treatment. Well, I wrote a message that became a booklet that's brand new called When Cancer Slows You Down. When Cancer Slows You Down. It's answer the question, Ray, what has God taught you through all of this? Mm. And by the way, I'm nearing the end. Thanks be to God. And
of your treatments.
Of my treatment. Let's clarify.
On this topic, that deserves clarification.
That's right. Yeah. I'm nearing the end of my treatment. About my life, that's all in God's hands, right?
Amen. And that's true about all of us.
Right?
Somebody on the show once said, maybe it was me and Tim pointed it out, but I think I said or someone did, he went home or something like that. And Tim was like, let's clarify.
Sounds like a Tim thing. So, Ray, what you're saying is that, like in a lot of churches where people pick the passages they want to hear and skip the hard stuff, they can technically do that
on the website.
Or they can go through the whole Bible.
That's right. And the booklet, When Cancer Slows You Down, it's at the top of the front page, and you can download the PDF, and it's all free. You can order print copies of it, too. So anyway, come see us at keepbelieving.com.
All right. Okay, Chris, good morning / good afternoon to you.
Yes. I have a story that is fresh off the press, if that's the word to use here, from Daily Signal, which is the news outlet for the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. They are taking joy in what I'm about to read. It says, quote, the far-left smear factory, the Southern Poverty Law Center, reportedly terminated a quarter of its staff yesterday, weakening and perhaps eliminating two of its departments amid a restructure that heavily hit its union members. The SPLC gutted its staff by a quarter, the organization's union posted on X, formerly known as Twitter. I bring this up because if you have listened to this program at any point in the last, I don't know, 10 years, you have heard us do stories about the Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization headquartered in Alabama that a long time ago did great things for the civil rights movement. But in more recent years, they have taken aim at various groups and just started labeling anybody that spoke out against traditional values as a, quote, hate group. One of those groups has been American Family Association. They have also taken issue with Family Research Council, another ministry that we partner with on a regular basis. So I bring this up because the SPLC, the group that has labeled us a hate group and others, wrongfully, I should say, has been having to cut people due to things involving this economy.
Well, Wesley,
while they have $500 million in their offshore accounts.
Yes. In fact, I think
they've got $500 million
It's a lot. Last time I saw it was in the 300 millions. And I think they actually had their charitable status degraded here recently because they're basically sitting on all this money rather than spending it.
Yeah, I got the story right here. An organization with nearly a billion dollars in reserves were given an F rating by Charity Watch for, in quotes, because this is a direct quote, hoarding donations.
Yeah,
and
rather
then
than spending it.
Rather than spending it, while they also gutted its staff by a quarter, 100 people.
Yeah, you know, if they released, listen, we never rejoice when people lose their jobs, okay, folks? We're talking about the fact that SPLC is getting a little bit of what they deserve here.
Sure.
But if they got all, if this was laying off people because of the economy, they should have been dipping into those funds at least.
Right.
To pay their staff. This is an organization that claims that hate is spiraling out of control.
That's right.
But yet they are hoarding money.
Money, yep.
You'd think, this is your dad makes this point, and it's a good one. If hate is really going through the roof and exploding around the country like they claim, why aren't they spending all this money to combat
it? On ads?
Yeah, on ads.
Yeah, you got with ads and speaking engagements, there's all kind of things that they could spend their money on.
Right.
Maybe a whole new... some radio stations, a TV program,
right?
All types of things they could be spending their money on. You know, they're not the only ones though, but they're an example of several nonprofits like BLM. They have similar situations where they have all this money,
right?
And they're caught misusing it, misspending it, and hoarding it, not using it. So,
all right, well. You started off with a little bit of good news.
Yes.
SPLC having some troubles.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go to Florida now. I've got several clips here from Governor Ron DeSantis, and I don't have the audio of the reporter asking this question because the reporter was not wearing a mic. You couldn't really make out what he had to say. You could make it out if you were to watch it yourself, but I couldn't play it and have it make sense over the radio,
right.
if that makes any sense.
You can just tell what he
So,
asked.
In this audio, Governor DeSantis is responding to a question this week from a reporter. The reporter asked, quote, "Your office told us that you plan to appeal the gender affirmation ruling from yesterday. So my question today, since we're talking about the budget of taxpayer dollars, why should taxpayer dollars go to this case for this appeal?" Clip 11.
"Because it's wrong to mutilate minors. It is wrong. It is wrong to perform a sex change on a 16-year-old. You're not allowed to get a tattoo, but somehow you can have your privates cut off. Give me a break. This is wrong. And I would also say, this has already been decided by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. They upheld Alabama's law, which was almost identical to Florida's law. This will be reversed. There's no question it'll be reversed."
Now, I have more, but we can stop there and get your take.
Look, Ray, I'm just going to say, I come into work every day. I love the people I work with. I love serving God here. This is a ministry that God has raised up. But I will be honest, there are days I come in and I think, I can't believe we're having to fight this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we're having to fight. There's a reporter who's trying to ask a gotcha question of the governor. You're going to spend tax dollars to go to court and fight this judge's ruling. And Governor DeSantis's answer is absolutely spot on. This is not only wrong, but it's bizarre that adults are supporting quote-unquote medical practices that are permanently disfiguring children and young teens. But here we are.
Look, huge shout out to Governor DeSantis, because when that gotcha question was asked, what was his answer, Ed? Because it's wrong. Talk about moral clarity. Oh, I wish we had 1,000 other leaders like that on the conservative side in places, in high places, because he's exactly right. That is the basis of the answer, because it's wrong. And anybody with half a grain of common sense knows you don't perform gender reassignment surgery on young kids. And he said 16 years old. He's exactly right. It shouldn't be done. It's illegal. And God bless Governor DeSantis, because they're going to win. Florida is going to win this. Mm-hmm. No question.
Now, in some of the other clips here from Governor DeSantis, he went on to, after the exchange we just heard, he went on to talk about the Constitution and founding fathers and law. Clip 12.
The founding fathers were creating the Constitution, and when the first Congress passed the Bill of Rights, or even when they passed the Reconstruction Amendments in the 1860s, do you think a single person involved in that thought that there was a constitutional right to do this genital mutilation? It's ridiculous. Of course a state can protect children against this. And we had very powerful testimony how this is irreversible.
Now, that is why it's important that you get the proper people elected who will appoint judges that will interpret laws as they were originally intended. Case in point, we have this battle now where the Biden administration wants to just redefine the word sex in Title IX from 50-plus years ago, knowing full well nobody in the 1970s was talking about sexual identity and all this other stuff that the Biden administration wants us to pretend they were talking about 52 years ago.
Yeah.
So that same argument there has been made that, of course, they didn't mean sexual orientation and gender identity in the 1970s, talking about Title IX.
You know, Wesley, it's strange that the current interpretation from the Biden administration of a law passed to protect actual women is being twisted to allow men to take away the rights of women and their spots on whether it's swim teams or other kinds of sports. It's really bizarre how all that has gotten turned around.
Yeah, listening to the clip here with Ron DeSantis reminds us that we need more people in politics like him, with moral clarity and being able to articulate the issues in a simple way. He does a phenomenal job with that. So whoever is coaching him or has coached him, we need more of that coaching going on in the GOP for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of Title IX issues and men and women's sports, we had this big update yesterday involving Will Thomas. Now, Will says and has said for several years that he is a woman and he wants to go by the name Leah. We still call him Will. And Will failed yesterday in a legal challenge to rules that bar him from participating in what is being described as elite women's races. A lot of people are saying that this ruling resulted in his Olympics dream being crushed. Mm-hmm. Someone that is very happy to see this is someone that had to swim against Will. She lost to him at least a few times. And that swimmer is Riley Gaines, obviously a household name, former University of Kentucky swimmer. Now she works for groups like Independent Women's Forum, Leadership Institute. And this clip here has a little bit of music underneath it because it was on Fox News during a very news brief segment this morning. But here now is Riley Gaines responding to yesterday's ruling against Will Thomas. Clip 10.
I cannot believe we have to have a court ruling to know that it's unfair for men to compete in women's sports. That's like having a judge ruling that the sun sets in the west. This is a victory. This is a victory for women and girls everywhere. No one is banning Thomas from competing in the Olympics. He has every opportunity, and I actually encourage him to compete, or at least try to compete in his rightful category, that being the men's category.
We also spoke yesterday with former University of Kentucky swimmer Caitlin Wheeler. She was a teammate of Riley Gaines, who, much like Riley, was very glad with yesterday's ruling.
Where was this ruling? What level was this?
It was the Court of Arbitration for Sports panel of three judges that was involved with the World Aquatics governing body.
Okay.
So it's not like the Fifth Circuit or U.S. Supreme Court or something like that.
So this is a court that athletes can access with regards to questions about the Olympics?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I will say that ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, is one of the many law firms out there going to bat, no sports pun intended, for athletes, female athletes, that are upset with having to compete against males. So there are still issues playing out in the U.S. court system over this very issue of males and females.
Does
sports.
That cover all sports or just swimming?
It covers, well, this is the World Aquatics governing body, so it would be swimming.
The reason I ask is because we've also covered stories where men are trying to pretend to be a woman and compete in, like, weightlifting.
Right.
And volleyball. We've seen some of that.
Basketball.
Yeah. Odds are when you watch the Olympics, the Summer Olympics this year, if you choose to, I think it's on Peacock, NBC. It's been on there forever and probably will be until the Lord returns. But if you do watch the Summer Olympics this year in Paris, you're probably going to see a dude competing against women in something, because this is one sport of many Olympics.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I have one thing here I wanted to set aside time to mention. And this is not a new topic, but I do have some numbers to go over. The National Retail Federation, which is the lobbying arm of retail, the voice of retail, they like to call themselves, put out a projection. How much do you think they say Americans are going to spend on Father's Day this year? We're talking about Americans as a whole across the country.
Not enough.
Yes. I'm with Ray.
With Ray, too.
I have no idea, but it's not enough.
It's not enough.
I don't have a number to go off of, but what the point that you're getting to is going to be. Go ahead.
Well,
I don't want to give your story away.
According to the National Retail Federation,
we know where this is going.
Father's Day spending is expected to reach $22.4 billion with a B this year.
Now, that's 22.4.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good number.
Amen.
I like that.
It is.
So continue on with the story.
Preach.
The bad news is, Mom got a lot more. Any guesses as to how much Mom's
having the
got
context
back
of the 24 billion?
I'm going to say three times as much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's not that much, but it's around $34 billion on Mother's
Day. That's actually closer than I would have
expected.
Yeah,
Closer than I would have thought.
Yeah.
22 compared to 34 billion?
Yes.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
As a dad.
I mean, we'll take it. We'll take whatever we can get.
Well, I thought it would be just a lot higher for moms.
Yeah. Now,
and I don't have a complaint with that.
That's what dads do.
We take the blow for the family, and
we take the
hardship. That's right.
Yes.
And we do it without complaining.
Almost. Yeah. I like
almost.
How you caught
almost.
Yourself
That's
there.
Right. Almost. Right.
One of the things, I'll post these links so our listeners can read it. I'll post the Father's Day and the Mother's Day stuff here in a moment. But one of the things I always like about these kinds of projections, they do a really in-depth analysis, all kinds of stuff. Well, what are you going to get your dad? And all these other things. Greeting cards remain the most popular Father's Day gifts. Okay. But when you go to, like, mom's getting jewelry, flowers, a meal out. All these kinds of awesome stuff here.
Now that I think of it, $22.4 billion, how much do ties cost nowadays?
That's right.
Right, yeah.
They used to be really cheap.
Yeah.
Another popular gift for Mother's Day would probably be like a pedicure, manicure.
See, I guess that may be part of it. Moms, there's a lot of different things you can do to make a mom happy.
That's right.
Flowers, jewelry, candy, whatever, a pedicure or something like that. What do you do for your dad?
That's a good question.
Now, when I was pastoring, we would have flowers for moms for Mother's Day.
Right.
And for Father's Day, you may laugh at this, we handed out tools. Screwdrivers or whatever.
For real.
Yes.
For real.
We need that Tim Allen.
What do you get for dads? A tie?
What?
But who wears ties nowadays?
I will tell you, I am not the most handy man. I will appreciate a tool. I have several things that I've had to buy since we were blessed several years ago to be able to buy a home. So I've kind of acquired lawn tools, but I am that guy that has to look up 4 how-tos on how to use it.
Oh, yeah, you're YouTubing it.
I need to go to Men of Honor to learn how to use
there
the
you
tools.
Go,
And I even had Wesley, show me how to use this drill.
All those 8 and 9-year-old boys at Men of Honor looking over at Chris saying,
Who's the old dude? Yeah. Okay. Is he here to teach us, or is he? Well, why is he taking a turn with the power
drill? The funny thing is, some of those kids are taller than me. But yes,
hey, he'll be the one that slips in the back on particular skill days.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Boomer.
Listen in,
Boomer. All right. What else? What
I
else
did
you
have
got,
somebody call me that one time in a comment on an article that I had on AFN.net. They were like, "Okay, Boomer," and I thought, "Wait a minute, wait."
I'm like, "You're not technically a Boomer, are you?"
No,
you're a millennial.
No. I am one of the oldest millennials. I am.
It's just a few days cut off on the millennial.
Yeah. Really, I really think one of these days when I get time in a slow day, which we never have, I'm gonna prove that I was one of the first.
Yeah, one of the first. All right, what else you got?
Well, this is a continuation of something I mentioned several days ago. For anybody not familiar with what I'm about to do, a couple of days ago, you can check out AFR.net for the podcast. We talked about how there was a couple in New York that did magnet fishing, and they found
a safe
with a bunch of cash. Come to find out, they were able to keep it because of some obscure gray area or whatever. So, in the spirit of random stuff on why we should all probably go dumpster diving and go to auctions and whatnot. CNN had this story. There was a vintage action figure. It was apparently very rare from the late 1970s. It was a Star Wars action figure of apparently a limited release Boba Fett action figure or whatnot. I don't want to say doll because it's an action figure, not a doll. But anyway, the rocket firing Boba Fett action figure modeled after the Star Wars bounty hunter was purchased in Dallas by an anonymous buyer for $500,000.
Wow.
It dethroned Barbie. This is a Trivia Friday kind of story. It dethroned Barbie for the number one spot she held since 2010, when a version of the iconic doll with a necklace of real diamonds sold at a Christie's auction for $302,500.
So a Boba Fett action figure topped a Barbie doll with an real diamond bracelet necklace?
Yes, and we don't know who bought the bounty hunter, so you can't go, you know, make friends with that person to try to make an offer.
Well, you were going to go to that auction, weren't you?
Listen, I'm nerdy, but I'm not that nerdy. Yeah. Now, Ray, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Yes, sir.
Do you know who Boba Fett is?
I was about to ask the question. Okay. I don't have the. I'm way too old for this. I'm on the upper end of the baby boomers. I don't know who we're talking. I don't know what we're talking about.
I will say this: some people may know what I'm talking about here. Others may not. Many people went years, if not decades, thinking Boba Fett died in Return of the Jedi. But spoiler alert: he might not have. Let's put it that way. In one of the many spinoffs that I think Disney Plus does this, they actually continued that storyline somehow, some way, in a way I won't explain.
So he, in Return of the Jedi, okay, now, Ray, to answer your question, Boba Fett was a bounty hunter who appeared very briefly in the first Star Wars movie, technically episode 4.
He was in
Mos
Eisley.
But he was such a cool-looking figure. They brought him back. He was a bounty hunter out in space a long, long time ago, Ray, in a galaxy far, far away. And in Return of the Jedi, he fell into this, like, huge worm's mouth in the ground. So he apparently got out of there.
Yeah, and then
we're in y'all's zone.
Yes.
We're in your lane.
We're in nerd country right now.
Nerd country, for sure. And
Ray and Wesley don't have a map.
I'm
looking everything up. Y'all have to slow down. I'm having to look it up play by play. Okay, now I know.
See, that's cool. That's a cool looking.
I'm looking at Boba Fett now, and I knew of Boba Fett. I didn't know Boba Fett's name because I'm not as familiar with Star Wars as y'all are.
You just look up Ray, B-O-B-A.
F-E-T-T.
I'm still stuck on that burning rabbit.
Yes.
One thing's real, and the other is make-believe. All right, folks. We had a little fun there at the end. For all you Star Wars fans, you got your Boba Fett fix. Yep. All right. We're done for today. Trivia Friday is tomorrow, but you know what? More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We're going to go get hot dogs.
Yes, cookout.